by what he said. All right, we are going to talk about the Paulicians. And I'm going to give you some excerpts here from the Paulicians' work here, The Key of Truth. And it was translated by a man that really wasn't that big of a fan of the Paulicians, unfortunately. He did defend them against the Manichaean heresy that they were accused of, which wasn't true. There arose another heresy amongst some of those people, which would be the adoptionist heresy, which meant that Jesus at his baptism became the Son of God. Okay, there are people that taught that. I know it sounds crazy. You're like, how could anybody really mess anything up like that? Oh, give us a chance. We can mess a lot of things up when we don't pay attention to God's word. Amen. We can mess a lot of things up. Now, I will say this in defense of some of these people. They sure didn't have the King James Bible like you do in completion and all right before them, right? And everything. Now, they had the words of God, so they're not without excuse. But the thing is we have the completed word of God right in front of us. We have the inspired, infallible, perfect word of God that we hold in our hands. Right? And boy, I'll tell you what, we are definitely without excuse, aren't we, when it comes to that? So anyway, but God is gracious to us. And to give us some of this history of the Paulicians. The Paulicians were talked about by many people. J.T. Christian talked about the Paulicians. I wanted, Andrew, to get that banner up, and we forgot about that, but we had other things going on. But next week, I hope to have the Trail of Blood banner up here. It's a big banner that goes from here. I'm one of those Baptists, one of those Trail of Blood Baptists. Those make a lot of people happy when you're one of those Baptists. Boy, you can really upset some people when you're that Baptist with the big B, and you really do believe in the perpetuity of the Lord's churches. Boy, I'll tell you what, you can really get in trouble with some people over that. That'll definitely separate what a true biblical Baptist is when they understand that they trace their roots back to the Bible, back to Jesus Christ, back to the Jordan River, back to the beginning there, and all the way through, that there are groups of people that held to those things all the way through the centuries and that died for it. I make no apology about that and about the defense of that, because if it's not true, then where are the people of God, right? And I want to be them if we were not them, amen? But we are, because we have the scriptures and we know what the Bible says, right? And it's the Bible that makes us Baptists in that sense. That's why we understand. That's why we hold to that. It's just biblical doctrine is all it is. It's an identifier and a way to identify that. So we hold to those things. The Paulicians held to that too. And you know why they weren't liked? The name Paulician was given to them because they paid close attention to the writings of Paul. Well, that was very smart of them to pay close attention to the writings of Paul, and very biblical. They didn't exclude the Old or the New Testament. In fact, that's what they used as their authority for faith and practice, the Old and the New Testament. But what they said was that they believed that the Pauline epistles were written for the edification of the church and to build them up and to strengthen them. I happen to believe the same thing.
Amen.
I absolutely agree with that. Right? Because that's the way Jesus meant it to be. God sent the Apostle Paul to do that. He called him. Amen. As one born out of due time, the Bible says, right? So Paul admitted to that and understood that, and Jesus appeared unto Paul for that very purpose, to that he would give the mystery, that's right, and then he would unload the mystery. He would give the mystery. In Ephesians, Paul talks about that. He talks about the mystery that the Jew and Gentile would be in one body, right? And to teach the church what they ought to do, the right churches. So when I say church like that, I don't mean it in a universal, invisible one. These guys don't either. You're going to hear them talk about the Holy or the Catholic Church of the United. They're not talking about Rome. In fact, they differentiate from Rome. Mm-hmm. When they talk about Catholic, they mean the institution of the local church. When others talk about that, when you say Roman Catholic, there's a difference in those two, okay? And what they talk about is what they're meaning is the Lord's churches. That's what they're meaning by that. Now, that's been changed down through the centuries to mean something totally different. That isn't what it meant there. Anyway, this Key of Truth was written, and the Paulicians, now, you're going to notice some of their language. When we get to some, you're going to notice their language, and they're very stern. Like, they're very strict, and they're very, like, they come out firing both spiritual guns blazing against Roman Catholicism and against the hierarchy and against Babylon and against those things. They're not like Baptists today that apologize for believing something. They're not like that. Like, they didn't apologize for what they believed. They didn't try to soft sell it. They made sure very clearly that they weren't a part of that whore, and they don't want you to think they are. They wanted it to be clear that they differentiated themselves. I want to be clear that we differentiate ourselves. Like we're not a part of the Protestants, and we're not a part of the Roman Catholic hierarchy or any of their lineage. We aren't part of any of them. So, and that's what these men did too. And by the way, they were hated. They were hated for it, which was prophetic, right? He says here in this key of truth, he said, "Wherefore the Spirit of the Father in heaven hath taken hold of us and inspired us to write this way and truth and life. For as much as for a long time past the spirit of deception had shut up the truth, as our Lord saith, the tares had suffocated it. Furthermore, it is a little and slender discourse that I have published to you briefly, not opulently, the which ye shall read with deep attention unto the glory of Jesus the Son, the intercessor, and unto the honor of his Father." So he's going to explain to you, like, they're basically going to explain some doctrinal things to you of what they believed, which I think it's important that you understand that we're going to read some of these. We're not going to read every line, but we're going to read some of these so you understand. We're not going to finish it this week. We're going to pick up some other ones probably next week because I want you to hear some of this. But I want you to hear the specifics of them. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You remember that, right? So he says this about baptism. He says, "Concerning the holy baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ, which hath been handed down for the sake of those who believe and repent, and not of the catechumens or of the unrepentant and those who lack faith, nor either of the impure, as is manifest in the holy and precious life of John the Baptist, who with his loudly calling voice before Christ our Lord and intercessor cried unto the adult, saying." So see, he made sure that you understand that, and he's talking about those that can make a decision. Those that are able to make a decision. You have to understand, is there anything in the scriptures that says that we cannot baptize a child that repents and believes the gospel? No. But the reason why they were so adamant about waiting for baptism for adults is because you have to understand Roman Catholicism was baptizing infants. And if you didn't baptize infants, then you were in trouble, right? So these men, what are they doing? They're making sure they differentiate from Rome's baptism. And they're saying, no, we don't follow the Pope's baptism. So they're very careful not to baptize children too young. They were very careful about what they did. And that's why they did what they did. So that was the reason why. Does that mean that we would have to follow? No, we don't have to follow them. If a young person believes the gospel, they've repented and believed the gospel of Jesus Christ, then and they understand salvation, they understand baptism, then of course we wouldn't withhold water from them to be baptized, right? We would not. But the times that they lived in, they are very careful about that. You would understand that more if you were facing down the things that those men were and women were facing down then, right? That you would see some of the differences there. "So then the words of the holy gospel are not hidden unto us," he said, "but for this reason, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ revealed them in true argument to his loved son." So he's talking about that. "Repent, O ye that are gone astray in sin after sin, thronging thick together of your evil deeds, and recognize your original sin from of old days lies in you stored up. For this reason, John, in saying this, woke up their minds to proceed unto the true faith and to know the new least of one of the kingdom, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who taketh away our sins. Even as John himself, stretching forth his holy finger, said, Behold Christ, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Again, he continues by saying, I am not he, but am sent before him." So he's very clear that he baptizes only those that were believers in Christ. What does that sound like? Baptist. That's what the Paulicians practiced. In opposed to Rome, who baptized catechumens or those others or babies, infants, right? So he goes on to say this in one thing. He says, "Wherefore also our Lord first asked for faith and then graciously gave healing, and after that bestowed holy baptism on believers, but not on unbelieving catechumens." Now, I'm going to bring up a topic I want you to understand something here. What you just heard was not Calvinistic doctrine. What you heard was faith before regeneration. That's what you heard there. So there's this notion. And by the way, just because they practice it doesn't mean it's right or wrong. My point simply is, when you are told a history that all of them were Calvinists and everybody always believed that same way all the time, that's not true. It's not true. Historically, that is not true. Have there been Baptist Calvinists? Absolutely. I won't deny that at all. I can't, because I have to be honest. But the point is that to say that all of them were is not true. That all of them followed these 5 points and everything else like that, and that's what they did. That's simply not true. And you can see here, way back in the 10th, 11th, and 12th century, they didn't know anything about that. They weren't preaching that. That wasn't a system that they had followed. So, I mean, it's just, I want you to understand that, because sometimes people can become so skewed by history that they think, well, that's how it always has to be. That's how it's always been. No, it hasn't always been that way. It hasn't. And you need to make sure you understand that. So also St. John and the Holy Church of our Lord Jesus Christ, so did they continue to do until the assault of Satan. For when Satan was let loose from the bonds, that he began to steal away the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ and of the holy apostles, and he insinuated his deceitful arguments among teachers, against whom, as the Heavenly Father enables us to let us with the keys of truth, open the door of truth, closed shut by them. So he's talking about Roman Catholicism. He's saying that Rome closed the truth to people of the gospel and baptized infants instead of Bible believers, instead of those that believed upon repentance and faith. So that's one of the points he's again making. He also says, now their repentance lay in turning from their evil works and believing in Christ Jesus, in receiving the holy baptism of the Spirit of the Heavenly Father, and in recognizing their sin and their being afflicted because of it, and in their release from the fetters of demons, which were from the forefathers on had been drawn tight round them. Wherefore then he beheld them, the great prophet John, in anger aroused them, saying, you offspring of vipers, who showed you to escape from the wrath to come? Now remember, this isn't King James, because there wasn't one then. So that's they're not quoting from that, obviously. Do you therefore bring forth fruits worthy of repentance, nor to make the beginning to say we have for our father Abraham? So he goes on, he's explaining that they're sinners and they need to be saved. Basic Baptist doctrine, not anything that you haven't heard. He goes on to say this quote here, behold Christ, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sins of the world. So we also must follow in accordance with his truth, and not according to the deceitful arguments of the traditions of others, who baptize the unbelieving, the reasonless, and the unrepentant. These are utterly false and full of the deceit of demons, and are not godly, whom we will declare as the Holy Spirit enables us. So he is very clear that those that baptize babies are devilish. He was talking about Roman Catholicism. He was talking about the popes. He was talking about those people back then that baptized babies or baptized the unrepentant. Right? Or those, when he was talking about reasonless, he's talking about those babies and children that cannot reason. They don't know. The babies, they don't know what they don't know anything about. They can't believe the gospel. They're babies. Right? It's like looking at your children and saying that. That's what they're saying. So this is the doctrine that they held to. So when people try to tell you, well, Baptists originated from the Reformation, that's totally false. If you're trying to say the Baptist name originated, you're still wrong. Because people were called Baptists in some form ever since the Jordan River. Right? But that's what that's the argument they try to lay. But once you see here that these Paulicians, what did they hold to? Believer's baptism by immersion in deep water and upon their profession of faith, that they were believers. They were believers in Christ. So there's many other quotes here that, and we'll read just a few of them here. And Jesus came and spake unto them and said, there hath been given unto me all authority in heaven and earth. As the Father sent me, so send I you. And what follows, thus also the Lord, having learned from the Father, proceeded to teach us to perform holy baptism and all other commands at the age of full growth, completed our mature season. So he's basically saying that they had to come to that understanding. They had to be able to understand their sin. They had to know. They had to be a full age in understanding, right? Whoever shall believe shall be baptized, shall live, but he that shall not believe shall be judged. Makes sense. He again talks about infant baptism. He says this, for some, in violation of the canons of our Lord Jesus Christ, have broken and destroyed the holy and precious canons, which by the Father Almighty were delivered to our Lord Jesus Christ, and have trodden them underfoot with their devilish teaching. These are they who ever and always oppose the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ, baptizing those who are irrational or without the word, and communicating the unbelieving. All these lie under the ban of the Lord and of the holy apostles, as is clear in the canons of our Savior Jesus Christ. Since he saith to his holy apostles, give not holiness to dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they forthwith trample it underfoot, and then turn and rend you and the rest. Do we not then know by what authority they do these things, or who is their teacher? Manifestly by the spirit of the adversary, of the Father of God, do they their works, even as the Savior warned us, saying, beware of evildoers, and the rest. In saying this, our Lord showeth us that they are workers of deceitful agents. This is of Satan. Moreover, a member of the church, John, passes sentence on such ones, saying in his first epistle, in this are manifest one from the other, the children of God and the children of Satan. Our Lord, moreover, manifests them when he says of such, by their fruits you shall know them, and the rest we need not quote. Thus our Lord intercessor Jesus will give to such as these their reward, but such as those he will liberate from the false teacher. So John, Paulicians in the Key of Truth, what they're doing is they're explaining, they're differentiating themselves from Rome. They're making sure that people understand they don't follow the Pope, they don't follow the false doctrine of infant baptism or the damnable heresy of infant baptism. They're being very bold and very straight and very clear, right? Like they're not confusing anyone, right, with what they believe, which is important. He says here, how then, O false reader, art thou not ashamed? Or how dost thou not blush? So utterly dost thou fail to reflect as to thine utterances and thy questions, that wherever proceedeth from thy mouth is not the true but false argument, whether the answer of a false witness or thy question about the catechumen or the baptismal fathers, right? The sponsors and all those other things that Roman Catholicism does. These men completely just annihilated that position. They wanted people to understand it very clearly. The Paulicians had a part in evangelizing that whole part of the world. Muslims and everybody around there. I mean, they were very influential. Into the later centuries even, they were very influential in that sense. Our mediator and intercessor, Jesus Christ, doth direct us truly as followers, beware of evil workers and the rest. So he's making that known very plainly. And out of such knowledge did our Lord Jesus give proof unto schismatics, unbelievers, the impious, liars, the false to law or false examples, false teachers, and false priests who are ever learning yet never able to come to the knowledge of the truth and the rest. Thus our Lord Jesus meant that their father and teacher is Satan. So he's talking about those that hold to infant baptism. He's being very plain. He's saying that they're of Satan. These are men that stood their ground when it came to what baptism was, when it came to what it meant to be converted, to be saved. Those that had repented and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ were the only ones to be baptized. You must understand that Satan has used infant baptism to damn so many to hell and use the false Roman Catholic Church and the papacy and scores of Protestant churches out there that have taught it. How many of you know somebody right now? Let me see by way of hands, if you would, please. How many of you know someone that thought they were Christian by infant baptism? Does anybody know anybody? Yep. Yep. How many in your family, brother? Your whole family grew up that way or was taught that way before they were saved, or many of them? All of them. All of them.
Same thing.
All of them.
Yep.
Right? Right. How many? You back there? Does somebody else have their hands up back there? You know somebody that was baptized as an infant or confirmed or whatever they went to, and they believe that they're Christians because of it, and they're fine Christians, and they're going to heaven. Do you see why these men hollered and screamed and said those people are messengers of Satan? They are. Whether they really believe what they're teaching or not, I don't care if they're sincere devils. It doesn't matter. They're still devils. They're still led by the spirit of Antichrist. It's rotten. It's awful. People go to hell and they die religious. They die and go to hell. How many millions of people have died and went to hell because of that damnable doctrine? That's why I have no desire to shake hands with any of these ministerial associations or any of these people that they're all grouped together by what? Their identifier is their infant baptism. Right? They're chaplains of hell is what they are. It's exactly what they are. And we should never, never take it easy on their doctrine.
Right.
We should never. And he calls it very plainly. He says they're of their father, the devil. That's just what they teach, and that's what they do. It's a very scary thing. Because there are so many of them that are dying and going to hell because of that, right? That's why Jesus said that they baptize unbelievers. But this man said that they baptize unbelievers. They give them infant baptism, which is not biblical at all. There's not one baby baptized in the scriptures, as you know, but how many of your family members really believe that when they were baptized as infants or when they had their children baptized, that was actually a Christian thing for them to do? Isn't it amazing that it is the most foreign and pagan thing ever that they did? It is absolutely pagan to be infant baptized. It is paganism. It is absolute paganism. That's what it is. I mean, it's not Christian. It's not biblical. You don't find it anywhere in the Bible. Where do you find it? In heathen and occultic practices, you find that sprinkling. You don't find it in the Bible anywhere. Right? By this time, however, true opinion has been banished from your minds, since your father has taught you of old and has bound you to his false gospel. For this reason, our Lord most explicitly bore testimony, saying, from the beginning, your father was a murderer and the rest. But now is the word of our Lord Jesus Christ found accurate and true, and he directs against that evil one. For at the first, he was in the form of a serpent and spake in the Armenian language. That's what they believed. I don't know what that has to do with anything, but wherefore hath God sternly commanded you not to eat of the fruit and not to approach it, but because God knew that when you take thereof and approach it, and once your eyes will be opened and you will be as gods, therefore he strictly commanded you not to approach or touch the same. But the woman Eve obeyed the Father of whom we have spoken, and in turn satisfied the mind of Adam. So then when each had persuaded the other, at once they were stripped naked of glory and were driven from the garden. So he's talking about the fall of man. He's talking about what happened, that woman was being deceived, right? He says, now, however, was rent the veil of virginity through the deceit of the same evil one. Now, he's speaking of spiritually, not physically, obviously. Virgin blood escaped from them. Their perishable flesh was afflicted. The ligaments of God were torn asunder. Those which he imposed on them, the modesty of their countenances was torn away. Their reverence was wholly lost. The color of light of the Godhead faded from their faces. The crown of their kingship was taken away. And their newly fashioned palace was lost, fastened about with chains. Nay, more, all other blessings were lost to them through the same evil one, and he made them his slaves. This is why the precept was uttered to the Jews who believe not, he that worketh sin is the slave of sin. So he's basically telling you, you're a fallen creature that needs Jesus Christ to save your soul. Amen. That's what he's preaching. He's just preaching that he's explaining them to them. And he talks about the false teachers, the false perverted teachers, and what they did. And what they have taught and how they have taught it. But he's going through, he's going back from like John the Baptist when he was talking about the generation of vipers. And then he's moving forward through history. That's what he's doing. He's kind of moving forward with the doctrine, and he's just kind of explaining what they taught, right? He talks about the 40 days and the 40 nights that the Lord was tempted, that Jesus was tempted. And he likens that to the temptations that all go through, that all Christians will go through and things like that, which is not necessary that we go through that. But let's see, he talks about, then he says, so then after the temptation of our Lord Jesus, the adversary Satan was filled with much wrath and began from that day to take to himself astute instruments of his wickedness and to follow after the disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ and after all who believed on him, as is clear from the words of the Holy Gospel, which says about Judas the traitor. And after the sop, then Satan entered into him. So what he's saying is there have always been religious apostates, or there have always been false prophets and teachers. There's always been the tares among the wheat that Satan has sown in, right, to preach a false gospel. So what do we have? Roman Catholicism. It's like the biggest one, right? The Pope is Antichrist, right? That's what he is. He is that. Some men believe that is the secession of the man of sin, that's exactly what that is, that the final one will be that final Antichrist that will come. I don't have a problem with that. I mean, there's something happening where you're uniting billions and billions of people together. And the old Pope up there right now, what he's doing right now, uniting all of these people together. And all of a sudden, there's like the American bishops over here said, no, Nancy Pelosi can't take communion, right? Because of her support for abortion. So what's the old smutty face Pope do? He brings her over there to the Vatican, and what does he do? Well, he gives her communion. Why? Because he's a devil, that's why. They're all devils, but he's a big devil. He's like one of the biggest ones. He just wants everybody to know that he's a real devil. Like he don't care. That's right. He's a Jesuit, so it's duplicitous. Remember, oh, there was a quote. I don't know what I did with I used it a couple days ago, but I talked about the priests against the monks against the priests, the Jesuits against the priests, and then the Jesuits against everyone. And that's what it, like those Jesuits are against. They're duplicitous. They have two doctrines. They have a secret one and they have an open one, right? And now it's just one. They just got one where he's in everybody's face and he's saying, bring on the trannies, bring on the sodomites, bring on the perverts, bring on the pedophiles. Let them be openly here. That's what he's doing right now. And he's uniting all of them together right now. He's dropping down every barrier because the Catholic Church is transforming more and more right before our eyes. And it's going to come. You're going to see, if you ain't seen nothing yet, it's going to get a whole lot worse. And don't think that old man up there is not stoking the flames of like Russia and Ukraine and all these wars. Just look who runs the money. Look who controls the money. Follow the money. Who's got the money and who owns the most land? You think Bill Gates owns a lot of land? You ain't seen nothing till you see what the Vatican owns. You ain't seen nothing till you see what the Vatican Bank owns. You ain't seen nothing till you think there's Jews, high-level Jews that make a lot of money? Yeah, you're right, there are. But you know who makes more than them? Like the 10 Italian families that are over in Rome. You don't even understand a tenth of what it is. All those Jews are front men. That's what they are. They're front men for the Pope's operation. Remember, what happened? What happened? They have no king but Caesar. That's what they did. So the Jews united with Pilate, and they united with the Roman Empire. That's what they did to have a conspiracy against Christ. It's the same today. Nothing's changed. They have no king but Caesar. Pontifex Maximus is their king. And he's the one that rules everything until Jesus comes back. That's the way it is on this earth. And you can see it's plain as day if you're looking for it. If you think all these little people around here, come on, man. That Pope can walk through any single place in this world and have complete immunity and cannot be arrested.
And worshipped.
And worshipped. He sitteth in the temple of God saying he is God. Mm-hmm. Right? That's what he does. He says he's God. He exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. Yep. That's who he is. Now, I'm not saying that guy is the final one.
Right.
I'm not saying he is. I'm saying he's coming.
Right.
He's definitely coming someday, right? We know that. Scripture told us that and warned us of that. All right, anyway, let's see. From that time, many of his disciples went back and did not walk with him anymore. So he's talking about the schismat. He's talking about the tares of Roman Catholicism that was sown in, or the spirit of Antichrist that is sown in. And he's talking about how the Paulicians are preaching a pure doctrine of who Christ is, of salvation, of baptism, of the scriptures. And he's laying the foundation for why they don't agree with Rome, why they don't agree with any of these people, why they're not part of them, right? And incidentally, you can always trace it because they're the ones that were persecuted. The Paulicians were hated. Well, just like every sect of Baptist. By the way, here's how it works, okay? You get a whole room full of preachers, right, like that, from all different denominations, and they'll all get along. You put one old-fashioned Baptist in that room, and they'll all hate him. They will all hate his guts, and he'll be like, I can't hang out with them guys. I ain't going anywhere with them. I'm not walking in that room with them. No, I won't pray with them. No, I won't let them lay hands on me. No, I won't join them in some national prayer all over the place. No, I won't have anything to do with them. Why? Because I don't have the same spirit as them. They're a bunch of God-robbing thieves. I don't have anything to do with them. They try to rob the glory of God and take it away, and they give it to some bastardized ordinance that they made up and that they worship. They tip their hand to Rome for and their hat to the Roman Empire, to the revived Roman Empire. It's real, friend. By the way, that threat is still real today, and that false doctrine is still pervading the churches today. It is still there, and it is still popular, and it is still being spread. And Baptists better get wise, and they better stick to that book and realize that we stick to Bible doctrine. We're not laying down believers' baptism. We're not for the fundamentalist movement and all those other things to go along to get along with all these people. No. If they don't believe in believers' baptism and they don't practice it, I don't even believe they're a biblical church. I am one of those Baptists that still believe that. Like you say, well, that's a Presbyterian church. You're right. It is a Presbyterian church.
Right.
It's not a biblical church.
Right.
You really believe that? Oh, I mean, right. Does it look like I don't? I mean, I'm not blinking. I'm not stuttering. My speech is clear. No, I don't. Why? Well, if you can't even figure out what believer's baptism is, how in the world could you be a church? You don't even have the ordinances. Right? That's just old-fashioned Bible doctrine. That used to be what Baptists held to before they wanted to be popular with everybody and they wanted everybody to get along with them. You know, it used to be in this nation that what's being celebrated tomorrow were because of Baptists that stood for liberty and truth. They stood for preaching the Word of God, and there was a Great Awakening, and they finished the job of the Great Awakening. Well, what was that? They planted churches, and they far exceeded all of the movement of George Whitefield and Jonathan Edwards. Why? Because they planted churches all through the South. They planted churches all through the country, and they ended up planting churches through all the world. Because they knew that churches were the Lord's great commission. They were the only way to properly change a nation.
Amen.
And guess what? Today, it's still the only way to properly change a nation.
That's right.
It's still the only way. Amen. You won't do it through a military. You won't do it through guns. You sure won't do it through some antichrist Donald Trump figure. You sure won't do it through any of those charlatans. You'll do it through the gospel of Jesus Christ, or you won't do it at all.
That's right.
That's how it is. You won't do it any other way. It'll never happen anyway. It is the power of God unto salvation. It's the gospel. And still the answer today. It's absolutely the answer. And it's not to compromise with a bunch of those people either.
Right.
I'm not interested. I've watched how you do it. I'm not interested. It makes me sick.
Amen.
It makes me sick how God-fearing people, I know I'm supposed to be preaching on the Paulicians, but how God-fearing people, right, supported a man who brought in homosexuality and the transgender movement straight into their party, and they're all cheering him on, and they're all bragging him on, and he pushed the sodomite movement all over the world, not just America, and they cheered him on. I'm like, wait, what are you guys cheering for?
Right.
They say, well, look, the Supreme Court did this. Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad. But you know what? It's still a compromise. It's still nasty. It's still nasty what he did. Because those same sodomites, I guarantee you, they're baby killers. Don't ever kid yourself, friend. Don't ever kid yourself. They're a bunch of baby murderers. They're anti-God. Yeah. They just are, period. By the nature of their sin, they're anti-God. But I'll tell you something. When you talk like that, man, you're gonna marginalize yourself. Brother Paul, and no one's gonna you're going to lose your credibility. Then nobody's going to listen to you anymore. Well, if God's pleased, I don't care if they listen. Because whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, they'll know that a prophet was sent unto them. They'll know the truth came to them. You know what? At the end of the day, we're going to have to resolve that we're going to tell people the truth, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. Because God says, I gave you a forehead harder than their foreheads.
Amen.
That's what I did. I sent you to be harder, a forehead harder. So whatever they do, don't be dismayed at their looks. Oh, they're looking at you funny. They don't like you. Oh, they think, well, don't be dismayed at their looks. I made your forehead harder than their foreheads. So just keep preaching it. Just keep telling them anyway. They don't want to hear it. Yeah, I know. They never did want to hear it. Right? But we have a duty, don't we? No matter what. Amen. And by the way, this Saturday, this coming Saturday, we got to try to get out and do that again because there's going to be some events coming up in Lakeville or somewhere around here. We got to try to get to preaching if we can out there. We'll see what's coming up. Jacob, there's some kind of events coming. There's a big one in Lakeville or somewhere like that on the 9th or something. Is that Friday or Saturday? It's something like that. I don't know when it is, but there's a huge event. And it's some Lakeville art thing or something. I don't know what it is, but it's huge. David Miller sent it to me. He always likes to get me stoked up, and he sends me like 300 event. Man, there's going to be 1,000. There's going to be 15,000 people here. I'm like, okay, David, I'll take a look. Then I get there, and he never shows up. Like, where are you at? Oh, I'm down here in such and such, 3 hours away. Oh, thanks, buddy. Oh, I laugh at him. He's a brave man, though, I'll tell you. You know, this man warns, he says, now, from that time, many of his disciples went back and did not walk with him anymore. Now, the wild beasts of whom I have written above, listen, this is how he's speaking to these people. Now, the wild beast of whom I have written above continued to threaten with great wrath the disciples of our Lord, because he that was said to be his did not fall a victim to his most evil plan, as Luke above testified, saying of this very evil one that he left him and went away for a season. He's talking about Satan, right? The Lord didn't succumb to that. He says, as a member of the Holy Universal Apostolic Church, Peter in his first Catholic epistle. Now, you got to remember the context of what he's saying. He's not talking about Rome. He's not talking about that. He just, context is important of the time in which this was given, right? But anyway, he says, be sober, be watchful for your adversary, Satan, like a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Again, this is written way before the King James, so that wasn't there at the time. After this manner, must we also be wakeful and not asleep in sin. For some, being weighed down with sin, have followed this adversary, as it is clear in the histories and ceremonies, which same we shall expose with the help of the Holy Spirit. So he's like, we're going to expose these ceremonies and what these people are doing. And he's talking of Rome. He talks about Satan, how he can come in as a false prophet. He says, at first, this gate of hell took the form of a serpent. Secondly, of a raven. Thirdly, a calf. Fourthly, of wild beasts. Fifthly, of light. So Satan coming as an angel of light, right? Sixthly, of women. Seventhly, of men. Eighthly, of clerics. He's talking about in temptation form that Satan comes to tempt, right? And he comes in different, he leads people to tempt us in different ways, right? Of teachers of the school. So he's talking about scholars. He says that Satan's going to come as a scholar. By the way, sometime soon, I'm going to teach thoroughly on the King James Bible. Amen. Issue. Because I want people to be grounded in the Word of God. I want our young people to be grounded firmly in the Word of God. And I don't know when I'm going to do it or how I'm going to do it. The Lord gives me wisdom about it. But I'm going to teach on the King James Bible very specifically. And so we understand very, very specifically the importance of the inspired, infallible, and perfect Word of God that we have. Amen? And so we're going to do that because I think it's part of the foundation as we teach on Baptist history, as we teach on, the church, as we taught on all these things, and we talk about our Baptist history and everything else, the foundation of the Word of God, right, being very important and being the most important, right? He says, anyway, so he says, 10thly, of false apostles, 11thly, of bishops, and 12thly, of monks. and all other forms he assumes as a disguise. And in these same forms he seals and stamps those who love and please him and guards them for himself unto the end. For in evil wise doth he chastise himself and all his according to the saying, their worm dieth not and their fire is not quenched. And may the Lord God Almighty, by the mediation and intercession of his loved Son, save and liberate all who make true confession of faith from such temptation. Amen. I like that, right? So he's praying for people, right? Now, the teachers and father of schismatics and heretics assume many forms and disguises, but we have only mentioned 12 in order not to be tedious to you. He doesn't know how short our attention span is now, does he? Right? This is back then. He said, I'm only mentioning 12 of these. He's got like categories all over the place, right? He's like, but he doesn't realize how short we are now, right? Now it's like a 2-minute tension span and we're done, right? What is the reason why the evil one disguises himself? It is that by means of the disguise, he may easily enslave them to himself. For this reason, he first assumes the form of a serpent because the serpent was full of guile. Talks about the raven here. A lover of lewdness. He's talking about the picture of them. Thirdly, of a calf, because the calf is a friend of mankind and useful to us. Fourthly, in the form of wild beasts, because wild beasts are renders of all images. He's going to nail image worship. Icon. By the way, they blasted the icons. They totally, that's why everybody hated them. I mean, they had everybody mad at them. It's like us when we made fun of it, I always will, too, make fun of their little kissing statues and all their little things, and like, they would make fun, you know, they did the same thing. Like, you think that's new, like, oh, you know, don't you think it's a little harsh? Well, not really. Baptists have always done it. Like, we've always, like, I mean, Jesus did it. Paul did it. And you turn from these dumb idols to serve the true and the living God. I mean, it's not new. You're worshiping a stone and a statue. What's the matter with you? Right? You saw the Hindu. I just saw a picture of a Hindu guy who had one of those things that looked like it was from Avatar, one of those blue things. But it was on his shoulders and he was holding it. And he was like, look at this guy. And somebody had a meme on there that said, look at this guy carrying his God out of the flood because his God couldn't help him. He has to help his God. And he's carrying this God on his shoulders from being, like, destroyed in a flood in the village that he was in. That's how messed up, but that's how Satan hides himself, right? That's how he does it, right? That's how he deceives men, unfortunately. Let's see, he says, seventhly, in the form of men. Oh, wait, sixthly, in the form of, or excuse, let me back up, hold on. Fifthly, of light, because light, it is disperses of darkness. Sixthly, in the form of maidens and of women, because they are too prone to adorn themselves because of their hunting after men. Seventhly, in the form of men, because they eagerly assent to things said. Wow. Eighthly, of clerics, because they lead the lives of imposters. The clergy, right? The clerical order, right? That's what he's talking about. Ninthly, of school teachers, because they are teachers of all. Tenthly, of apostles, because they are healers of soul and body. Eleventhly, of bishops and Catholic, because they are proud and overweening, and in particular, traffickers in the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yea, and though dispensers of holy law, yet are also avarice and excogitators of falsehoods. Lastly, they disguise themselves as monks because they always love herbs and vegetables, whatever that means. And also, and they keep feasts because their food grows always in damp places. I don't know what he means by that. Wherefore, also their dwellings are there, for they are like mush. Okay. I wasn't there. I don't know. I'm sorry. But that's just what he held to. I don't know. Anyway. We're almost done. We got two quotes here, and then we're done here. But anyway, let's see. I think it's right. Yep, he's going to talk about the false. Okay. Behold, O ye blind, how our Lord deems your procedure false and vain. So he says here, and also our Lord Jesus Christ, having chosen his disciples, said, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel of the kingdom to all creatures. Whosoever believeth shall be baptized, shall live, but whosoever believeth not shall be judged. By the way, even in that different version, what does it say? It says they have to believe. right? So the onus is not on baptism, but on belief of the heart, right? It's always the heart. Behold, O ye blind, how our Lord deems your procedure false and vain and pronounces you to be deniers of him and calls you children of Satan, as was written above. Lo, now do you recognize right well your lying father? Recognize of a truth your spirit? Recognize even your false god? Nay, recognize also your teacher. Yea, and furthermore, do ye recognize the Pope? The Catholics and your president, and recognize your sham Messiah and the rest? That's not politically correct. That doesn't sound very nice. Of whom our mediator, intercessor, our life and refuge doth manifestly speak, saying, and that which he speaketh false, he speaketh out of his own, and his father is Satan. No, I don't think so. No, I don't think so. No. No, I don't think so. That's why you'll notice no American flag here. Why? This is the Lord's church. This is the Lord's church. Why? Right? No? Right? Thus our Lord Jesus and the Holy Universal and Apostolic Church saw and spoke as he wrote above. And now once more we write down from the first to Timothy, but expressly doth the Holy Spirit say that in the last time some shall fall away from the faith and the rest. And again in another writing of his doth he speak of you that are blinded. And there shall be lovers of self, overweening, proud, and insolent. Nay, more, ye have confidence in your works, but ye have denied the holy works of our Lord Jesus and his sanctified apostles, and are followers of your father, the evil one, who gave you his law, namely to baptize unbelievers, to worship images, to make silver and gold into the form of an image, and to adore the same, to pry into the sins of men and women, to explore the same and grant remission, as to which our Lord ordaining, saying, no one can remit sin save only the one God. But do you investigate all their words and give praise to the Heavenly Father and to his only born Son? Only begotten Son, that's what he means by that. Anyway, so we'll stop there for today. But what he's doing, you're seeing he's laying the foundation of the of speaking of Roman Catholicism. He's very plain, very simple, that believers, only believers are baptized. And he tells you what a believer is. It is one that repents and believes the gospel. You see what that is? You will find that in the scriptures. You will find that all through the scriptures. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, you find two things: repentance and faith. Now, we understand that the New Testament it gives the revelation of who Jesus Christ is. Amen. The Old Testament prophesied about him in the types and shadows. They looked forward to Jesus through the types and shadows, right? They looked through the Lamb that was slain, through those other things. They had to repent and they had to believe God. Amen. Right? But in the New Testament, right, Christ came and fulfilled the law. Christ came and died for sinners. Christ came to make an atonement for our sins. And he did, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day. Amen. And we have liberty in the gospel of Jesus Christ. When the Son of Man shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Right? We are made free indeed. There is no question about it. When the Son of Man shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Amen. We're not looking for anyone else. We're looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I have nowhere else to go. I look only to the one that saves, and that's Jesus Christ alone. Amen. I'm not searching for another Messiah. I'm not looking for another type or shadow. I have the substance, which is Christ. Amen. We have the atonement through Jesus Christ. We have the forgiveness of sins through the blood of Jesus, right? This is what this man is preaching here. He's preaching that only those that are believers should be baptized. Why? Well, because he was a Baptist or a Paulician, or maybe you're a Paulician. Paul's a Paulician. I know that. Paul's family they're Paulicians, but, right? I know that for sure. Amen? but praise the Lord, right? That we understand this truth. I like what Brother Beller used to say. People used to ask, well, do they identify with us? And he said, no, I hope we identify with them. He says, I really hope we identify with, I hope they claim us. If they came back, would they claim us? That's the real question. Would the Waldensians, would all those, would they claim us? Would those Donatists and those Lollards and those Petrobrusians and all those other, would they claim us? Would they be ashamed of us? I hope not. Amen. But we preach the same doctrine, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, this even this one book of a man that really didn't like, this is written by, well, it's not written, it's translated by Coyne Bear, who, by the way, did not like the Paulicians, really. He accused them of some things, but that's okay. God always uses the enemies of the Lord to record things, so we have it, right? But the one thing that God used was, this proves alone, right here, just this book alone, besides, obviously, we know the Bible is our authority. We believe it by faith no matter what. But this proves the history of the baptized believers upon profession of their faith in Christ Jesus, right? Way before the Reformation. Way before the Reformation. In fact, most people, and I'll read you some quotes maybe next week, most people claim, and it is Gibbon, either Gibbon's History of the Roman Empire or the other Lutheran historian, Moshim, one of those, they say that, well, the Paulicians, well, they go all the way back to the apostles. You hear the claims of those things over. And by the way, these are not Baptist writers saying this. You understand this? They're saying they claim apostolic authority, like apostolic doctrine. That's what they held to. They go all the way back. Well, yeah, they do. Why? Well, because Jesus said that he might receive glory in the church throughout all ages, world without end. That's in his church, that he might receive glory. That's how. And it, we're part of that. That's the perpetuity. That's the promise that God gave to his church. So when you hear Rome talking about how old they are, well, just because you have really old naked pictures on your walls and because you have weird, creepy sculptures and lands that you've stolen and creepy pedophilia things in your buildings and all kinds of, doesn't mean that that is the faith once delivered unto the saints. Because you can't recognize Roman Catholicism in the scriptures besides Babylon.
Right.
But not what Jesus taught. Jesus taught biblical Christianity, and the Apostle Paul gave the further revelation of that truth to us. So that's biblical Christianity, the faith once delivered unto the saints. Right? So we see that there, and that's the truth of it. We don't need old rites and ceremonies and all these other extra-biblical things to say that we're older. No, we have the Word of God, and we believe it by faith. But we have other men and women that stood and died and were persecuted, like these Paulicians. And why were they persecuted? Because they stood against the standing order. They stood against Rome. They stood against the apostates, and they had to die for that, right? There's a quote, and I want to read it to you. Bear with me just a second. Let me get it for you, because it is a good quote. And then I'll let you go home here. But I Brother Ted shared this with me, and it was so good. Let's see. It's right here. A couple of them here. Gibbon stated in this classic book, The Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire, the faith of the Paulicians stemmed to the first century and was a branch of Antiochian Christianity. But that's not a Christian saying that. You understand that, right? Saying, well, they trace their roots back to Antioch. That's where they come from. That's what they taught. The Paulicians, let's see, that's not the quote I'm looking for. Here it is. The persecutions against the Paulicians were fierce. Benjamin Evans stated, what the pen failed to do, the sword of the magistrate effected. The Novatians, the Donatists, and others that followed them are examples. Many of them taught those peculiar views of Christian ordinances which are special to us as Baptists. Beyond all doubt, such views were inculcated by the Paulicians, the primitive Waldenses, and their brethren. Over Europe, they were scattered and their converts were numerous long before the Reformation shed its light on the darkness of Europe. This question was asked in the scriptures, right? To become a pastor of the Paulicians equivalent of wearing a target on your chest, right? Art thou then able to drink the cup which I am about to drink, or to be baptized with the baptism which I am baptized, to be baptized with? To which they would reply, I take on myself scourgings, imprisonments, tortures, reproaches, crosses, blows, tribulation, and all temptations of the world. Why? Because it was a death sentence. When they answered the call to preach, it wasn't some novelty. They were going to die.
Right.
There's a good chance they weren't going to make it. But these men believed the scriptures. They believed the Bible, and they were willing to die for it. Would to God we have men that will do the same today. Amen. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. And thank you for the truth, Lord. Thank you for the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. Thank you that we have it. We can hold it in our hands, the words of life. Lord, help us to stand firm in the faith. Help us to be faithful. Help us to obey you and to follow you. Lord, give us strength. Give us victory in Christ. Thank you for your mercy towards us. If there be one or two here not saved, Lord, may they come to Christ and be born again by the Spirit of God. Lord, please strengthen your saints. Help them to grow in the Lord and to live for Christ. Help us to love one another with a pure heart fervently. Help us to evangelize a lost and dying world. Lord, help us never to surrender to that Roman Catholicism, that infant baptism, that great whore on the hill. But let us forever war with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and tell the truth before it's too late. Lord, there's so many in darkness, so many in darkness and under the guise of infant baptism, and they're going to die and go to hell. Help us to warn them to flee from the wrath to come. Help them to see Christ as the only way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.